When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
What's going on, Jermaine Johnson? Tune in to Turn on the Jets podcast.
Hey, this is Vinny Pasquantino of the Kansas City Royals. Make sure you tune into the Turn on the Jets podcast.
Everybody, welcome back to another episode of the Turn the Jets podcast. I'm your host, Will Parkinson, at Will Pyle 11 on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. Special Tuesday episode, had the episode out yesterday with Brad Spielberg recapping, you know, Jets Giants, the absolute slop and filth that that game was. The Jets obviously moved to 4-3. Trade deadline today. I was at 4 p.m. We're recording this after the deadline. Jake Asman, who I'm on his show every Monday. Jake's nice enough to join us tonight. Jake, how we doing?
Will, I'm doing spectacular. Appreciate you having me on, man. It's always fun to join you on your show because you come on with me, as you said, every Monday. And we have a good time.
Yeah, we have a great time. A little home and home action. Pretty quiet deadline for the Jets. Wasn't expecting much. We talked a lot, you know, about Carl Lawson getting traded. He ends up, you know, Joe Douglas, they obviously didn't get the price they wanted. You know, Carl Lawson was in trade talks during the draft. He was in trade talks for the last couple of weeks. Nothing really materialized there. The only move the Jets make is signing Roger Saffold, who was a Pro Bowler the last 2 years. Whether he played well or not is another discussion, but he was a free agent. They signed to the practice squad with intent to make time to the active roster. Are you surprised, I guess, in general, they did pretty much nothing? I mean, I guess one signing, but they did literally nothing else. Are you surprised that not even that they didn't make a trade to benefit them, but they also didn't even send anybody out?
That, to me, is the biggest surprise, is that they did nothing. Like, if you would have told me they made a trade, but it was like they traded Lawson or Dalvin Cook or Michael Carter, I'd be like, okay, I get it. And then if you told me they signed like Roger Saffold, I'd be like, all right, well, they addressed offensive line and there you go. I think the surprise was that they literally did nothing. Now, once again, they did add Saffold, and I know there's familiarity with Keith Carter, the offensive line coach for the Jets, and Saffold when they were both with the Titans. So I understand it from that standpoint. But I'm a little surprised they didn't do anything. My biggest concern, I think, coming after this trade deadline is they're thin at receiver if, God forbid, something happens to Garrett Wilson. Like, sure, you know, you can make a case that they have enough in-house if they start giving Xavier Gibson and Jason Brownlee more reps, more opportunities. But, well, they're one MetLife turf injury away to Garrett Wilson from this receiver room maybe being the worst in football. And there were some guys that got moved today that I felt like maybe could have helped this team and wouldn't have cost you that much. So that to me is the one criticism of the Jets I'll give. And they could prove me wrong if, you know, these guys I mentioned, Brownlee and Gibson, play well. I would have liked to see them add a veteran receiver at some point today.
Yeah, they felt like, I'm glad they were interested in Devontae. I'm glad they're interested in Mike Evans. We kind of knew those guys weren't going to get moved though, right? Like, Tampa Bay is still in, they're in a division where they're not as quite as, I mean, they're not good, but they're not quite as bad as I think everyone was expecting. They won a couple games, maybe, you know, they're still in the mix because the division's terrible. And then more importantly with Devontae, like, I don't know, you ask anybody in Vegas and they say that he's incredibly unhappy, he's miserable, he wants to get moved. And of course, you know, Rodgers goes on McAfee today and it's like, trade him. You know, I hope he's not on the team in 3 weeks. And he obviously pauses in between that and in typical Rodgers fashion. But the Raiders were never going to move him. All that money was paid in major signing bonus, and they weren't going to pay $45 million for 20 games of Devontae. And, like, I think he'll be a Jet, you know, in August and whatever, but it just didn't feel realistic today. So it's like, why not go get a Donovan Peoples-Jones? Why not just flip Carl Lawson for Donovan Peoples-Jones? Cleveland had interest in Lawson. Peoples-Jones would be a nice wide receiver 3, wide receiver 4 on the cheap, right? Like, that made sense to me. Or even, Terrace Marshalls of the world, Hunter Renfrow, people, they're begging teams to take these guys. And it's like, I don't know, maybe they help them. At least they have, maybe they have one moment. Maybe it's a James Robinson deal where they have one moment, they help them win one game. And like, it matters. It's worth it. The Ezra Cleveland one, you know, you mentioned receiver, the Ezra Cleveland one really bothered me. I know the Jets had interest there, and it bothers me from this aspect of it costs nothing. He's got guard and tackle flexibility. He knows this scheme. He, like, everything lined up there. And I know he went to Jacksonville, but like, Jacksonville did exactly what I wanted the Jets to do. They added to an offensive line that is pretty, has some moments where it's decent, but they said, what if someone gets hurt? Walker Little had been hurt earlier in the year. They're kind of doing everything they can to go make a run at it. And we'll get to it in a second, but if Rodgers really coming back, why not take a chance there? Even if Tippmann's coming back and McGovern and Schweitzer, like, Ezra Cleveland might be better than you can play Tippmann at center, and he might be better than McGovern, right? Like, isn't that like just weird to me? Like, Roger Saffold being your only move feels like we didn't want to give up a seventh round draft pick. And it's like, why?
Like, completely agree.
Yeah, Zaire Barnes, like, that's what you're going to get with that pick anyways.
Yeah, and they better just be right about Tippmann coming back soon, right? Because that's the only way. Like, I'm with you. I would have a 6th round pick. Who cares? They don't look at it that way. As you know, these GMs love to hoard their picks and all that. But I mean, this is the same GM that midway through the season a couple of years ago, like, traded, what, a 6th for Joe Flacco just to bring him in. So I don't know. I think you could make a case they should have made that trade that the Jaguars did. Is it possible that the Vikings didn't want to deal with the Jets because Joe Douglas ripped them off in the Herndon deal a couple of years ago? It might have been a different GM at that point, but I don't know. It's weird they did nothing in that regard. They better be right that Tippmann's coming back soon, Will, because you could sell me on an O-line with Tippmann and Saffold as your guards. Maybe Tippmann moves into center and you could put Billy Turner at one of the guard spots, Becton and Mitchell as your tackles. And like, that's not a great offensive line, but in today's NFL, that's serviceable enough to win with if Zach Wilson could not implode, right? So I think that's maybe how they're looking at it, but I'm with you. A 6th round pick to get a guy with flexibility at guard and tackle. What's the downside? And then you still could sign Saffold, by the way, if you made that move. Like, you didn't have to do one or the other.
Yeah, it was like, it was oh, cool. Like I said before the day, I'm like, they're going to hopefully trade for Ezra Cleveland. They sign Lael Collins and move Lawson. And it's like, you basically net even on picks. You flip those two guys and you add in a little depth. Yeah, Tippmann, you know, from, you know, what you ask people, they think he'll be back much sooner than later, which maybe means Monday night with the extra day. Okay, cool. You still have another spot that's open, and maybe whether it's Xavier Newman or Billy Turner or Max Mitchell, and, you know, you're playing Jenga with, you know, these different pieces, you know, the offensive line. I do wonder if they would have been more inclined to make this move if McGovern and Schweitzer were not going to be out longer than a month. I'm thinking to myself, do they think, can we just survive these next 4 weeks, go 2-2, 3-1? You know, I think they go 3-1. You know, some people probably think more 2-2. Can they go be 3-1 and get reinforcements back for that stretch run, you know, with Rodgers coming back? Maybe that's where the thinking is of, if we get Tippmann back, can we piecemeal it at least for 4 weeks, right? I mean, you're not really scared of the Chargers. It's more of an, you know, the tackle situation that you're hoping looks strong. The interior-wise, the Chargers are very weak. And then Vegas, same thing. And then you look at, you know, a Buffalo and, you know, Buffalo and Miami, you're more scared of the edge, you know, the edge presence. I guess Christian Wilkins out of Miami, but Rodgers obviously talks today, you know, he asked people, everyone keeps coming back to Christmas Eve. I've been talking about it for a while. It feels like that's what's going to happen here. Rodgers certainly didn't, we'll get to Joe Douglas's comments, cause I think Joe slipped up a little bit on saying we expect Aaron back this season. I think he meant to elaborate on that, and he kind of got excited. Rodgers certainly seems like he's coming back. He hinted at today, if people haven't seen the interview on McAfee, he basically hinted at he's walking normally, he's doing dropbacks, the next step's jogging, which seems like it's probably a this week type of thing. He's doing cardio. He's talking really highly about how this is one of the best locker rooms he's ever been in. He loves the guys. He loves that Salah's created this culture. I thought McAfee's best line of the entire thing was, he's like, kind of makes no sense how the Jets haven't been good. He's like, this sounds awesome. And I was like, yeah, well, players haven't always been awesome either. But
have you seen who the starting quarterback's been the last 3 years, Pat?
Have you seen their history with quarterbacks? That kind of tends to be a problem. What'd you make of Rodgers, whatever you saw of, you know, the Rodgers interview and then Douglas talking a little bit about them expecting him back in the building, but he's not a doctor, aka he'll be back at this year.
Look, anytime Rodgers speaks, he's just a fun guy to listen to. He's very just an interesting guy. Even if I wasn't a Jet fan, like I would enjoy his spots when he was still with the Packers on with McAfee. He's just a very unique dude. He really is. But you know, today he sounded upbeat. It sounded like he knows there's still a lot of steps for him to clear, but let's call it for what it is. Like, this guy has every intention of coming back this year. He's doing everything possible because he truly believes it is possible for him to come back this season. And I don't know if Douglas slipped up or like he realized what he was saying could be, taken out of context. Like, I think maybe deep down Joe does think Rodgers could come back, but he's not going to say it publicly because it does the Jets no good to put that timetable out there and set the expectation that, oh, the GM thinks he's coming back. But there's no doubt, like, if Rodgers is able to come back and he's cleared, like, they're going to put him out there. Like, there's not going to be any of this, oh, no way, we got to worry about next year. Like, well, if he's medically cleared, he's playing. And I think Douglas, what he didn't do today is he didn't come out and say, yep, there's no way he's coming back. We're just worried about him getting his rehab in. We'll worry about next year. He just said he's not going to put a timetable on it, and he had that little slip up. So you can interpret it however you want, but the GM didn't say no to the idea he's coming back this season, and Saleh hasn't either anytime he's been asked about it. So that to me is notable.
Yeah, I was going to say, everyone, you kind of listen to different radio and you know, national people, and it's like, nah, I still don't think he's going to come back. And I'm like, the Jets head coach and GM have done everything but say he's coming back. Rodgers has done everything but say he's coming back. Like, he's like, I'm trying to come back, and he keeps saying it. And it's like, if they're in it, he's coming back. And I know, you know, he talked a lot about today, the biggest key is going to be movement in the pocket, being able to get to, you know, stretch plays and outside zone and be able to move within the pocket. If he's already going to be jogging at week 7, week 8, or this is week 7 for him, like, I'm sorry, I have a hard time thinking in double this amount of time he's not going to be close to playing football.
I mean, he's doing mini dropbacks now. Like, I was at the game on Sunday watching.
I know, you had like the first video out there, and then the Jets cameras on the field got a real nice one. I want to ask you a couple more things here before we wrap.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com. You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com. You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com. You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
Zach Wilson on Sunday was, I went back and watched it. He was not as bad as I thought. That said, I don't understand this, like, concept of why everyone has to, like, jump to this conclusion he was awesome. Like, he wasn't awesome on Sunday. He wasn't very good. He wasn't good. He was not terrible, and he was not the only reason they would have not won had things kind of worked out that way. Like, the O-line wasn't great. The play calling wasn't great. The receivers, the running, like, no one played well in offense. The conditions were horrible. All that said, and the Giants defense is a good unit that played awesome. Like, all these things are true. That said, some of the sacks, the horrible third and one throw to Breece Hall, the two fumbles early in the game, like, those did happen. Like, I just don't get this thing. Like, he's a backup quarterback now, and it's okay. You don't have to beat up on Zach every time he does something bad, but, like, let's not pretend like the offense is any type of rhythm with Zach, generally speaking. And, you know, it just, he wasn't good on Sunday. Like, he was not as bad as I thought. Again, I'll give the film some credit. There was a lot of plays left out there where receivers and other people did not do their job. But, like, It's also a place he didn't do his job either. And it's okay to say that. I don't know why we can't have this nuanced conversation with Zach. It's either you're a truther and you like, he's going to be the future of this team for the next 15 years. And everyone that says anything bad about him hates the Jets, or, you know, you don't have to crap all over him that he's the only reason they're not more than 4-3.
The Zach discourse is infuriating more times than not. And it's tough because a lot of Wilson truthers don't grasp the concept of you could be a Jet fan and you're allowed to be critical of your own team, or you could acknowledge, hey, quarterback didn't play well on Sunday, or the team in general did not play well on Sunday. They're lucky to have won. Like, you're allowed to say that and then also acknowledge that, yeah, well, Zach wasn't good. Give him credit for the last two drives, because a year ago they don't win that game. Like, he clearly has improved as a player, where, you know, that game against the Giants was the Patriot game from last year, only they won it this time. Like, that's the difference. So, look, ultimately, I don't know if that conversation with Zach is ever going to die down, because I don't think he's ever going to be, like, clearly an elite quarterback. And I think there's always going to be, like, that gray area of people trying to, like, make excuses for him. So my hope is he plays well, they keep winning. Eventually Rodgers comes back either this year, Christmas Eve, please, or he's obviously the guy next year. And I don't know if Zach has a long-term future with this team, but you know what? We'll worry about that in the offseason, because this is a Jets team that has so much to play for right now, and they need Zach to be good, and they need him to be competent to get to where they want to get to, even if, you know, Rodgers can come back towards the end of the season.
Connor Rodgers said something on Badlands that I found interesting, and I think it kind of goes hand-in-hand with what me and you do on Mondays on your show. He's like, the problem is a lot of fans, and he's like, I don't blame them, don't want to hear anything negative about their team after a win. And I get that. But I also think that part of why people listen to your show, the 30 or 40,000 subscribers or whatever you're at these days, the reason people do is because they want to hear, like, an honest, like, objective opinion, and coming from someone that roots for the team, and we're all excited, but also provide context to what's going on. And I just think it's very frustrating from my perspective of, and I think you feel the same way, of just like, we don't have to, like, go to two extremes with Zach. Like, he was not good on Sunday, but he was a lot better than, you know, I had thought maybe watching the game live. But again, he needs to clean some things up. He needs to get them in rhythm and not think so much and be slower with the ball. And then at the same time, people need to help him out, right? The Chiefs game, he was operating in a much quicker and faster manner, but also guys were making some tough catches and winning their battles one-on-one. Like, everyone's got to do their job. On the defensive side of the ball, last kind of two things here. They got two interesting different matchups kind of upcoming. You've got a offensive coordinator who I still don't think Kellen Moore is, like, great, but Justin Herbert in this offense, there's a lot of exciting pieces. That said, the offensive line gives up a ton of sacks, and Justin Herbert feels like every pass is a 2-yard pass at this point. He's kind of the opposite of what him and Tua are basically doing, the opposite things right now of what they used to do, where, like, all Tua's throws are these bombs downfield and Herbert's are all two-yard checkdowns. Generally speaking, obviously, are you, from the upcoming game, like, what is this Jets defensive plan? Is it just going to be kind of similar to the Eagles and Chiefs game, where, like, try to get as many takeaways as possible? I feel like obviously Sunday was such a hard evaluation of this defense because the Giants played Tommy DeVito.
Right. I expect the Jets defense to play great on Monday night. I think it's a good matchup for them. I think the Jets pass rush is in a good spot against the Chargers O-line, and the Jets secondary should be able to clamp down on whatever receivers the Chargers have, right? I mean, I know Mike Williams is done for the year, but they still have some weapons there. Herbert, I think, is a very overrated quarterback relative to how he's discussed. Like, he's clearly very good, but, like, the Herbert conversation has been, is he a top five guy? And he's won nothing. So, primetime standalone game, Brandon Staley getting his bunch cross country. Like, I expect the Jets defense to play well. I don't know if they're going to force, you know, four turnovers like they did against the Eagles or the Bills game on opening night, or, you know, pick off Mahomes twice. But, you know, I'm expecting this Jets defense to give them every chance to win. The reality is, though, Will, and you know this, they're going to need to score more than 13 points to win on Monday. So if Zach shows up, and I think the Jets could exploit a weak Chargers secondary, I think the Jets have a good chance to win. It's a good matchup for them because I love the spot. Having the Chargers off a win where they played well, now have to go cross country and take on a Jets team that, even though they won, for a lot of people on the team, it probably feels like a loss. And from that standpoint, I like the focus now. Don't embarrass yourself at home in primetime, that kind of mantra for the rest of the team. So I like the Jets a lot in this game. I think they're going to play well on Monday.
Yeah, I want to – this is the last one I kind of want to dive into. This Chargers defense is going to sit in a lot of soft zone. They're going to rely on Joey Bosa and Cleo Mack. Cleo Mack has gotten 6 of his 7 sacks in one game.
Yep.
I'm sure I'll regret saying this, but does not look like the same player, and he hasn't looked like the same player for a little while now. That was like an awesome game, but again, that's the classic guy that like at the end of the year, you're like, oh, he had 9 touchdowns and like 5 of them in one game, and he had 4 over the course of 16 other weeks. Brandon Staley, you mentioned across country. We talk about teams not being able to handle hype. The Chargers are a team like that that, you know, accentuates that. I feel like this Jets team, they're, I think, the second worst, and, you know, they had the second most, you know, missed tackles in the NFL this year. They should be able to put up points. Like, this should be a big Garrett Wilson game. This should be a huge Breece Hall game. This should be a big Tyler Conklin game. Like, this Jets team seems to play really well on primetime. You know, in terms of that, like, do you expect them to kind of show up and this to be a big crowd at MetLife on Monday? I feel like this is all the makings of the opposite of every Jets season. Like, we used to, everyone dreaded the primetime games. They wanted them at 1 o'clock. They've played horrible in 1 o'clock games. And primetime, they've actually looked awesome. I feel like we should expect more of that on Monday now.
I agree. And I think MetLife's going to be, you know, electric, like almost as electric as like week one. Like, I think it's going to be nuts. I think when you factor in Chargers fans aren't traveling, the Jets have a winning record playing a Monday night game in November. The weather, at least looking at it, you know, a week out, doesn't look like it's going to rain. Doesn't look like it's going to be that cold. I think it's going to be an unbelievable crowd. And the crowds this year have been great, Will. I mean, you've had the Kelce brothers talk about it when the Chiefs and the Eagles were there, how big of a, you know, home field advantage MetLife had been for the Jet fans. You know, you and I were obviously at the opener and how crazy that was week one, even with Rodgers going down on the opening drive. I think it's going to be crazy on Monday night. And I think that's a huge advantage the Jets will have in this game. And they match up well with the Chargers. Like, I think it's a good spot for the Jets. And I agree with you. I think Zach should play well in this game. He's played better in primetime all year. And maybe that's kind of what they need.
Yeah, and this is a must-win game for them. These next two games are must-win. In conference, two teams that have somewhat similar records, and they will be competing for playoff spots at the end of the year. Obviously, make sure everybody that's, you know, listening here, subscribe to the Jake Asman Show on YouTube. It's plugged in. Jake does obviously an awesome job, has great guests. I'm on there every Monday, so, you know, feel free to check that out as well.
You're a fan favorite, though, Will. I mean,
I appreciate that.
People love Mondays with Will Paugh.
The weather for Monday looks like 65 and sunny. I'm sure it'll change, but if anyone that lives in the New York, New Jersey area knows, Monday through Friday, it's awesome weather here, and then Saturday and Sunday, it rains for 2 days straight. So good weather, prime time. If you haven't gotten tickets yet to the game, I would go, because if Rodgers does come back on Christmas Eve, those tickets are going to cost upwards of $500, $600, $700 for the nosebleed. So appreciate you hopping on last minute, Jake. Obviously, I know you got a lot of fun stuff coming up on your channel. So if you have anything you want to plug, feel free to do that. And then, again, I'll be back on Friday with an episode of Fully In-Depth Preview of the Chargers game.
So this is coming out tonight, Will? It comes out
tomorrow. Yeah, I'm going to come out in the next 20 minutes here. We'll get it right out.
All right. Well, if you're watching this or listening to this, I should say, on Halloween, Marty Lyons, Jets legend, radio analyst. He was on my YouTube show earlier today. Tomorrow, that'd be Wednesday, Nick Faria, who's new to the beat, covers the Jets. He's a breath of fresh air compared to some of the other coverage you get on the Jets beat. I'll leave it at that. He joins me tomorrow. And we got some great stuff planned throughout the weekend set for Jets Chargers. So can't wait, man. It's going to be fun. And then hopefully, Will, you'll come on with us on Tuesday next week for a Victory Tuesday, because the Jets, of course, play Monday night.
Yeah, we'll get the hoodies going on Tuesday. Appreciate you hopping on as always, Jake. Everybody enjoy the rest of the day. We'll talk to you guys on Friday.